Testing. Let's try that again. Good morning. Welcome to the Family Worship Center. My name is Pastor Kenny, and we're going to go right to prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we give you thanks. We praise you for another day. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together in the freedoms we have. We're thankful, Lord, for so much, for you are so good, Lord. And Lord, we just praise you and ask that you open our hearts and minds for what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quick announcement. In front of you are the cards for prayer. If you would like a prayer request or you have a prayer request, please fill those out and pass them to the middle, and in a little bit we'll have the kids come and collect them, and then we'll pray over those. Again, please fill these out and pass them forward, or to the center, not forward. Thank you. Think about something right now that God has done for you, and then tell your neighbor what you're grateful for. I'll give you a couple seconds. Come on, it's quiet. All right. If you'd open your Bibles to Colossians, we've been working our way through Colossians. We're going to finish up chapter 2 today. So let me read to you from Colossians 2. Verses 16 through 23. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sinuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that will all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in prompting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. When we get into this, and as I was reading through it, I couldn't get past the first verse, because there's a lot of people that use that to rationalize a lot of things. So we're going to look at these first two verses separately, then we'll look at them together as we need context, right? Yes, we have freedom in Christ. But that does not mean that we can do or say anything we like. And contrary to what is said, we are to judge. People don't like to hear that, but it's true. Jesus said, do not judge by appearances, but with right judgment. Right? With righteousness. He also said to remove the log from your own eye before trying to remove the speck in another's eye. So just make sure you're not being hypocritical when you go after that speck, or that log's going to poke you really bad back. And the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are to judge those within the church. Those within the church. Now, according to verse 16, we are not to let others judge us when it comes to what we eat or drink, what we celebrate. Think All Hallows Eve. Okay? Or whether one day is better than another. If you're thinking that the Sabbath day is Sunday and we're to rest and not do any work, I'd like you to go read your Bibles in the Old Testament, because the Sabbath is Saturday.
the Sabbath is Saturday. We have to be careful what we accuse people of and what we're doing. But what if we are eating or drinking? What if what we are doing there causes your brother or sister to stumble? We shouldn't be doing it, right? We shouldn't be doing it. We should be doing everything, whatever it is, to the glory of the Lord. We are not to be offensive to the Jews, to the Greeks, or to the church, according to what I've been reading in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. You can look that up. I believe it's part of your further reading also. Romans 14, and I'm going to read to you from that. Listen to these words, and here we go. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes that he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And now I'll remind you that no one stands on his own works. Okay? Going on, verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now, if you take that in context, he's still talking about when we're not to judge. It's about the things we eat, the days we celebrate, right? Looks an awful lot about what we look like in Colossians right here. Don't judge them for eating or drinking or for what days they celebrate or don't celebrate. We're to be not to do that. Paul is telling the people in Colossae not to fall back into old habits and not to go back to practicing the law with its regulations on Sabbaths and dietary requirements. These things would not and could not bring them closer to God any more than they can us. Verse 17 in the NIV says it this way, and I like this. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, I love that word, the reality, however, is found in Christ. Right? The things foreshadowed in the Old Testament find their answer, their reality, in Jesus. And we've been talking about how Jesus is the sufficiency for all that we need, right? He's sufficient for it all. The reality is found in Jesus. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. I'm going to read down through that for you. For since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never be. It can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having been once cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not taken pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said the above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Once for all. "And every priest stands daily in his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time all who are being sanctified." Being sanctified. We're going to leave it right there. I want you to think about what is being said. There is no need, as a side note, as was said earlier, Steve, as a side note, there's no need for the sacrificial system to ever be started up again. There's no need. Jesus paid it all. It's paid for. It's done. Verse 4, right? Jesus paid it all. "For it is impossible for the blood and goats." It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Jesus died to take away the sin, to take away the power of sin in our lives. That's awesome. Paul, in writing this, did not want them to fall back into legalism, to become slaves to the law. Sin has no dominion over you since you are not under the law but under grace. Jesus died to set us all free from the law. "For by works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Romans 3:20, right? And Romans 4:15 tells us that the law brings wrath. But as Romans 8:1 tells us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the same way that Paul was addressing them, we cannot go back to the elemental teachings of the world. Health and wealth do not follow faith and faithfulness. Your feelings do not trump what the Word of God says. If God says it is sin, then it is. Some of the teaching of the elemental spirits of the world says that church life is optional. That you need only go when you feel like it. And then only when your personal wants are being satisfied. When your ears are tickled and you are entertained. That's a lie. Straight from the mouth of the enemy. Don't be disqualified by thinking and practicing the worship of anything else other than God. Idols come in many forms: boats, sports, work, organizations, self, and even family. Anything that takes priority over Christ and his church should be looked at very carefully in the light of Scripture. Not by what I say, not by what someone else says. says, what does the Word of God say? Don't let angels, visions, or anything else keep you from Christ and His church. Nothing should be doing that. Verse 19 also gives us an idea of how God intends His church to grow. When every part is working together, it grows with a growth that is from God. Right? Ephesians 4 puts it this way. Speaking the truth in love, the truth, right? Right here. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is also the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, that's each of us, when each part is working properly, makes the body, the church, grow so that it builds itself up in love. How can we do that when we're not together? Jesus said, I will build my church. And in Acts 2, we are told that they, those gathered together as the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, being grateful, right? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The church was doing what it was called to do and making disciples. And who worked it all out to add to their number? God. Because of what? The obedience of the church. We cannot get into the habit of some who choose not to be a part of the church. We are called and commanded to be a part of a local congregation. You were baptized into the church, into the body of Christ, right? Immersed. I love that word, baptized. Doesn't mean sprinkled. It means dunked. Okay, if you were watching the Beverly Hillbillies, or was it Petticoat Junction? Granny, she said, did they dunk them or were they sprinkled? That was her major problem, right? I know it was a comedy, but it's still, you got to dunk them. We're to be baptized, immersed into the body. We are to be a part of His body in some capacity. In some capacity. We also have to be aware of the trap of Gnosticism. That's what Paul is teaching against here. And that teaches that the body is sinful and must be rigidly controlled, subjugated, and abased. You're to put it, everything off. That things of this world are to be avoided. The pleasures of this world, the things that are ours, the good foods, the things that we need. You're to just not. Okay, that's what Paul is telling them. They can do these things. Touch not all those things that he's mentioned there. Today we see some similar teaching in the church that sin cannot be avoided in this life, that it cannot be removed from the body. That sin can't be done away with while we walk this earth. And yet we are told that the body of flesh, the body of sin, has been put off by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 11, you can read it there. You died to sin and were raised to new life. It's gone. It's past. There are no principalities or powers that need to be constantly appeased through severe self-denial. Asceticism, right? They will not get you closer to God or make you more of a saint than you already are. Compliance to religious rules, traditions, and human precepts will only produce pride, prejudice, and ungratefulness. I did this. I got where I'm at. I has to be crucified. Ego. That's the word when we get to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Right? It is in and through Jesus that you are justified, sanctified, redeemed, and saved. And it is in Him that we as the church and as individuals have new life. If you have died with Christ, have been crucified with Him, then why is it as if you were living for the world, do you submit to its teachings? Why do you follow the elemental spirit's lies of what is good and what is not? What the world teaches has the appearance of wisdom and love and acceptance, but are simply human approval of what the Word of God clearly calls sin. The unborn are sacrificed on the altar of convenience. Fornication, greed, pride, selfishness, and sexual immorality are seen as normal and everyday. Sin is embraced and celebrated. The passions and desires of the flesh encouraged. Yet God's word clearly teaches that we are to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Not indulge them. Not indulge the flesh. Jesus died to set you free from sin and its power. Jesus only. That's all we need, right? It is time to speak out and be what we are called to be. To be in the world, but not of it. To be witnesses of God's love, His mercy, His grace. To be messengers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Christ. It is time to move up in our relationship with God and to move out with the message of love, acceptance, and forgiveness that the church holds on to. In Christ, you are free from the wrath to come. Free from the power of sin and death. He came to give you new life. To give us new life. And that new life is found in Him and His church. Now is the time. Today is the day to decide. Will I walk forward in the new life that Christ has offered me with Him? Or will I continue as I am? Is it Jesus only, or do I prioritize other things over Him? I, for one, don't want to go back. The old is gone, the new has come. And it may not be pretty, but here it is. As a believer, the only way forward is in Christ. To deny myself, pick up my cross daily, and follow Him. You have to make that decision daily. Every day we have to decide, am I Christ or am I my own? Is He the boss, my Lord, my Savior, and my King? Or do I sit on the throne and do what I want to do and complain and whine because things aren't going the way I think they should? You have to make that choice. No one can make the choice for you. And God is calling you to repentance. God is calling you deeper into a relationship with Him. God is calling you and commanding you to be a part of the church, to have brothers and sisters that you would normally never have. And I know that there are some of us that you just go, yeah, it's nice to see you today. But we are called to love one another, to share, to help, to encourage. Those things cannot happen outside the body of Christ. Only within the church can we practice all the one another's. Only in the church will we grow closer together as we do. Only in the church will we become more Christ-like as we learn to live and love one another. Live with and love one another. So this morning, I encourage you to come in gratitude for all that He's done, for who He is, because He is love and He loves you beyond all understanding. And He wants what's best for you. And the only way you can have what's best for you is if you're in His plan. In His plan and not your own. Would you join me in prayer and stand as the praise team comes? Father, we do give You thanks and praise for another day. We're thankful, Lord, for a time to celebrate the gratitude we have for all that You've done. To thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and grace, for the harvest, for Your provision, for Your presence, for the life that was given and the blood that was shed. Because all we need is Jesus. And we thank You for making a way. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember when I said there was something I was forgetting? Check in. Good. If you've already checked in, great. If you're new with us, just text to that number and it will give you all the information as you go along. And thank you for being very patient with me in my memory. Would you join me in prayer as we give thanks? Father, we are truly grateful for Your love and mercy. We're thankful, Lord, for this time of fellowship that's coming, Lord. We're thankful for the food and we give You praise for it right now in Jesus' name. We're thankful, Lord, for so much, for You have given us so much. And Lord, we cannot begin to give You enough praise and glory and honor and thanks and gratitude, Lord. Help us to live in that attitude of gratitude as we go about our week, Lord. Help us to remember that all we need is You. In Jesus' name, amen. Give us a few minutes to gather the tables out and chairs out of the way, and those of you that can help be deeply appreciated.